God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all, are y'all here this evening? Praise God. You know, I like a church service like this. You have the faithful people here this evening. Even though it's raining and snowing and cold all at the same time, y'all is hungry for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God's been dealing with me this year about extraordinary miracles. Actually, it started last year. About having extraordinary miracles, and that's our saying at our church for this year. But, you know, the Lord said to me months ago, He said, I want you to start feeding on healing. And I want you to start stepping out in faith and start talking to the people about signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. You know, I just always had the, just my thought process that we weren't going to see signs, wonders, and miracles until the church came together as one. Yeah. And we was all together as one, and the government got in line. And everyone is in this faith that we weren't before. And we're all in the same flow. And, you know, I started to say that, and I said, you know what? That's never going to happen. And I said, look at the disciples. Jesus left, and he said, I'll be with you, but you go out into the world. And here they are getting prosecuted. They're getting chased down. It's against the law to lay hands on people. You can't do that. And I said, all the circumstances that come against him didn't look like they were supposed to have those kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles. But they did. Get this. They said the disciples would put bodies in the street. And the shadow would just fall over them to be healed. Be healed. And I said, you know what, Father? I see what you're saying. Because I'm waiting on somebody to do it. Isn't that right? We've kind of had that a little bit of that feel of that. Isn't that right? Uh-huh. And the Lord said, well, why don't you do it? And I said, all right, Father. I will go out there in faith to a place I've never been before. And I'll do what you ask me. And so he's been talking to me more about signs, wonders, and miracles. About having a longing for them. I think we don't have a longing for them. Actually, I know we don't. And that's why we don't see them. Faith sees the invisible. Faith has boldness to it, doesn't it? Faith has action. Yeah, faith has action. Let me ask you this. If we brought a person up here and they were on a bed, they pushed them in and they look like they're dying, and I asked one of you people to come up and I said, brother, I want you to come up here and lay hands on them that they'll be healed. How would you feel? Now, Christian folks, oh, Brother Stephen, you know what the word says. You know, but inside you're screaming. Because Christian folk know how to confess, don't we? And we dare not say doubt. Isn't that right? But really, you don't have the faith for it. Isn't that right? You feel like you're drowning. You ever had that feeling? You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, now we're on the same level. If I brought someone up here without a foot and I said, oh, why don't you come up here and pray for them? They'll be healed. Mm-hmm. You see the difference? You see what I'm talking about? You see that feeling? That's because we're not seeing it in our spirit. We're not meditating on those signs, wonders, and miracles. Uh-huh. You understand what I'm saying? And then when people come up, and I've done this, is we say, well, let's see what happens. But you wouldn't say that out loud, would you? Because that's not the Christian thing to say. We've been taught you don't speak doubt. Isn't that right, Pastor? But you thinking it. Do you see what I'm talking about? Do I have your attention? Faith hears the inaudible. Faith touches what cannot be felt. Mom's been saying something, I love it, and she says, faith can have it. Faith can have it. Faith can have it. Faith can have it, brother and sister. I am coming to a place right now. I've been preaching for 10 years. Praise God, I've been married to you for 10 years. Goes by quick, doesn't it, sister? Goes by real quick. And I've been preaching for 10 years, and this last couple weeks, I'm going to a new place in faith I've never been before. Because I'm going to a new level in trust in God I've never been before. What is faith? What is faith? Faith is trust. Faith is trust in God's word and what he says. I'll show it to you. Yes, Father. I'm just going to read this to you. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I got it right here. Lily B. Yeoman said, God delights in his children stepping out over the arching void with nothing under their feet but the word of God. How many times do you believe that's for somebody else? Well, brother, you don't understand. I got a family. I got a mortgage. I got a job. And but without saying it in that way, is you're saying I can't go there in faith. I can't believe God that way. I can't believe God for that home. I can't put myself in that circumstance. You know what I'm talking about? Is you've already made up your mind there is going to be a circumstance. When you've done that, you're out of faith. And I've done it. Trust me, I've done it. I'm not saying I haven't. I think we've all been there. But I'm starting to see things in faith that I've never seen before. Things in places I've never been. And I am in the lineup this week for an extraordinary miracle for the Dufresne family. Yeah. And it'll come to pass. And the flesh, boy, the flesh don't like it. The flesh hates it. And boy, the thoughts come like you wouldn't believe. The thoughts come. A bombardment, a failure, you name it, it's come. But when you can answer those back in the word of God and faith, instead of processing, have you ever been in the car and you're driving, but your mind has gone to the abyss? And you're just, it's like driving at night in the snow, and it's like a vortex. You know, it's like the old screensaver on Windows with the stars flying by you. You know what I'm talking about? I've been there. I've been to that abyss. I've been there. And, you know, there's so many men of faith. So many men of faith. And I look at Lester Sumrall, Smith Wigglesworth. I look at Dad Hagen. And I thought, you know, and I always thought, man, what great men of faith. And they are. But the more I'm getting into some things, I'm saying it's so simple. It's only believing God. But it's getting off of the physical feeling of it. Getting off the physical feeling of it. The devil will bring, I mean, I've been to where I've been shaken before. Uh-huh. I've had it where I physically shaken up in the middle of the night. Devil is bombarding me. I like something Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, if the devil don't bother you, you ain't worth much. I told Morgan, we was flying in the airplane here, and I said, look at that. She goes, that's good. No, that's good. And I was like, so we're doing something right. Because, boy, he is like, got his hand, his arms trying to wrap around me, you know. I don't know if y'all have been there or not. When every circumstance in your life says you can't have it, faith can have it. Faith can have it. Faith can have it. Worry can't have it. Okay, you ready for this? Silent worry can't have it. Even though, because you wouldn't say it, but you've already processed it. Am I stepping on y'all's toes yet? Amen. Faith can have it. You know, we know this. Fear has a look. You ever seen someone in fear? It shows up on their face. Did you know faith can show up on your face as well? Faith can. The eye of faith, a comfort in faith, a comfort in God's word can be in your eyes. It can. And you don't have to leave it to your pastor. Me and my wife made up our mind. I refuse to let people pass me up. I said, you know, I always looked at failure. Well, if I do that, I may fail. I may fail. And the Lord showed me one day. He said, look back through your life and show me where failure has ever come to you. And then I start going through my life. You can go through your life. You can go through your ages, can't you? And see the big events in your life. And I'm going through. Okay, now I'm up to I'm married. My first house. There's never been failure. There's never been failure. But the devil's already got you think that there's complete failure. And I said, and I look at my parents' life, and I see no failure. I don't see any failure. And I go, well, I don't have any foot to stand on for failure. Even though he's already got you beat thinking you're going to fail and think you have failed. Ain't that right? Me and Morgan were talking about it here this evening. And I've done it. I was raised in church from my get-go. And I would believe for things. I'm talking about 20 years old, a little younger. And I would believe for things, but I never developed a faith walk. I never developed my spirit. But I was going to speak faith, and I was going to speak healing when I needed it. Okay? Are y'all following me? And guess what? I never saw a manifestation of healing because I didn't grow my spirit, but it carries. Now, have y'all done that before? And what happens is the devil thinks you failed at that or has seen you fall at that point, and he carries it through to your next thing and says, look, you're going to fail. You say, no. And so when I have put myself now in a place, I have gone so far in faith in a certain arena with our home that I don't have an opportunity to worry about it. Because once you start worrying about it, it's out of God's hands. That means, so like we say, if you're thinking about it, you're worrying about it. I remember I was, this is about a year and a half ago, and I went to go get my teeth whitened. And I've always had sensitive teeth, and they put them whitening strips on your teeth. And boy, I'd start getting fireworks going through my head. You ever had something cold and you're like, bah! You spit it out, it's gone straight up your eye, you know, you're just cockeyed. And I said, all right, I'm going to speak the word. And I'm driving down in my truck, down to the dentist place, and I'm confessing my stuff. I'm confessing my scriptures. And I know all the scriptures. This is just 2 years ago. I've been preaching, y'all, at that point. I've been here before that, you know. And I'm going, you know, I'm praying, saying the word of God, and I'm going through my stuff, and I pull up the scripture. Now, look at here, Father. It says here what your word says, and I present it to you, and I say this. All right. And then so I get to the place, and they put those strips on. I said, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. I'm healed. And they put those things on, and everything's going good. And about 5 minutes in, and then I go, oh. And then, here comes another one. And here comes another one. And before long, I'm just drooling out the mouth. And now I've lost all victory. Victory's lost. Victory's lost. Everything's lost. And now I'm just mad. I'm paying my bill. Fine. $200 for nothing. They said, "What? Look, your teeth look so white. Can't even tell a difference. They look the same. It's a scam. It's a scam." So I go home, and boy, my mouth is throbbing. I'm drooling like a baby out of my mouth. You know, I got a rag wrapped around me. It looked like a fool. And I'm upset at God. I'm mad about everything. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go out and mow the yard. Because I can't sit here. I'm just, you know, I'm just, you know. And I get out there and mow the yard. And then Morgan gets home. Boy, I give her an earful. Word of God don't work. I told you. And boy, I'm just mad. Just lost my victory, didn't I? Lost my victory. So that night I go to bed, you know. And the next morning I wake up. Now I'm a little bit better. All the pain's gone. And I said, okay. And I'm driving down to work. And I said, Father, and I got my coffee. I said, Father, I know that was wrong. I threw a fit. And I ask you to forgive me for throwing a fit and acting that way. That's not right. I just got in my flesh and ask you to forgive me. And he showed me where I missed it. Now, let's go back the day before when I was in my truck. And I'm confessing all this stuff. And I said to myself, all right, let's see if that did it. Yeah. And then I asked the lady for the pain meds. But, right. And then when I got there, thank you for reminding me. When I got there, I had said, do you have anything for the pain? Because it happened before. I've done whitening in my life and had bad experience with it. So see, when I did that, I got out of faith. God knows I know better. But see, that's the reliant that you don't even go that far into doubt and unbelief. That's doubt and unbelief. Have y'all been there before? Okay. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. I'm just going to preach Morgan's sermon over again. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord showed me this a while back because I talked to him about getting more in faith. About studying more. Now, y'all see here. This book of the law shall not, what? Depart. So that means it's not leaving. You think of an airplane as departing, it's leaving. It's out of here. But it says, but the book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. From your mouth. You're always confessing the word of God. Always confessing, always saying something in faith. But you shall meditate in day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written within. Now look at this scripture. God is telling Joshua this, and she talked about that today. Remember, she had talked about Moses' staff was his point of contact, and he was used to using that. Now we go over here with what God told him. Confess with your mouth. It shall not depart. The word shall not depart. You see, God's already training him to use your words. You think how crazy, think about how crazy, where do they go? The walls of Jericho? You go around it, and then on the seventh day, toot your horns, and the whole place will fall to the ground. Doesn't that sound crazy in the natural? I mean, would we have faith to believe that? I mean, in the natural, that don't make no sense. Think about his faith that he said, I don't care if God said go roll on the floor at the front gate. They're coming down. And he said that God told him, I'll give you the city if you do that. Now you think, here they are. What was it, 7 days? Think about the first day and everyone is gone around the whole place. They're dragging their junk back to camp. And here comes Joshua on the side just happy and everyone goes, You know, they don't get it. They don't understand it. But from the minute I was reading, and when the minute God told him, he said, we'll go and possess it. He had the faith that God was going to come through and to go throughout 7 days and not quit. When everybody's mad at you, you're probably up casting the devil off you all night long, trying to figure out how in the world is some tooting horns going to bring this place to the floor. Right? Okay. That's the way I see it. And I said, my goodness, if he had that faith in God and knew he was going to come, and look, the whole walls came down except where that one lady helped him, and she said that he said that place will be kept. And the whole place come down. And they're at that place. I was watching a documentary. Those walls, they said, fell down. It's amazing. They found the place of Sodom and Gomorrah. A guy was out there doing a survey, and they can't figure out what this rock is. This is just a side trail, excuse me, but I think it's fascinating. And they're looking at these rocks. They've never seen these rocks before. They don't even know what they are. They go, man, this looks, we don't even know what they are. Well, this gentleman went to New Mexico where they set off the atomic bomb. And on the floor, they're everywhere. And he goes, oh, my God, these are those rocks I saw at that city. Yeah. And he took them back. That what happened was when heat gets so hot, it made those rocks almost crystallize. And he says, I found those same rocks at these two small cities, or these two cities over in the Middle East. Think about that. Yeah. What does it say that happened to those cities? They just burned to the floor. Now, you think not just burning, but they said this rock, this isn't a normal burning. This is like atomic level. That's amazing. I thought that was fascinating that he just found that out. You know, I thought, praise God. That's proof right there. My goodness. Praise God. Faith has action. Faith doesn't get up in the morning and worry. Brother and sister, we have got to get beyond this worry we do silently. You know what I'm talking about? Both your husband and wives come here, but you don't want to tell the other one that you're worrying about it because she'll rebuke you and vice versa, which is good. But we've got to get to the point where we're so comfortable in God, in faith, that it's nothing for us. We go, you know what? It's going to take, but see, you're never going to get to that point if you never accomplish your first mission. Amen. You have to have successes in faith. Because what happens, it strengthens your faith, doesn't it? It's like being a contractor and someone, or let's say you're about to go to a new job and you ain't never been there before, right? But you're nervous. But you have to be confident, right? You got to go, you know what, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And what happens? Maybe the first couple weeks a little shaky. But guess what? You start falling into it, and you start figuring out how it goes. And you say, man, I got this figured out. And then after a couple of years, boy, you're just fluent. And people fail before they ever get to the first big thing. So they never have that success. And the devil brings up their failure that they never completed that first thing, and it holds them back. They get pulled back. They didn't complete it. Because they let doubt and unbelief take hold of them. Yet, it's our fault. The Bible says, casting all your cares. All. And sometimes it's not very easy to cast all. And some of the circumstance I'm up against now, I've never been here before, but I like something Pastor Tim said that, I guess Pastor Michael said, he says, you know, one way or another, you earn your stripes. And I said, brother, I'm in line for my stripes. I'm standing in line right now. Come on down, Lord, just put them on me. Because I refuse to fail. And I refuse to worry and think about it. If you start thinking about it, and start worrying about it. It wasn't a couple days ago, boy, I about lost my victory. I'm serious. This is a monumental thing that this next week I will be accomplishing that I've never been there before. And I'm looking so forward to it. It's been such a fun ride. When you sit back and you just don't worry about it. And brother, let me tell you. It's not too big for God. And you say, brother, you don't understand. Yes, I do. Because I'm right there. You say, well, you don't understand the money. I said, yes, I do. I'm right there. Pastor Tim knows what I'm talking about. I'm right there. And if I can do it, you can do it. God will bring you right up. And you say, well, brother, Steve, why in the world you can make us go through this? God will bring you right up to the hilt before you can't take no more. And then he'll make a way of escape right at that moment and breakthrough because he wants to see your faith. And then think about, and I told Morgan, I said, I want such a great testimony. Oh my gosh, I want a great testimony. I want a testimony I can share with people and give them just the most amazing testimony so they can take it and walk in my footsteps and they know it works because they sat here and watched me every day go each step like this. I'm just going forward. And I got young men in my church following me. I got one young man, wonderful young man. He may be watching by live stream, I don't know. Dear to my heart. And him and his wife got married, and they didn't have a car or any money. They had to ride the bus to go to the chapel to go get married. And I don't know everything, but he ended up moving out to California and getting in our church. And he said, Brother Stephen, I've never had this kind of teaching in my life. I've never heard this. But what I appreciate about the young man is he is so diligent to listen to the Word of God and do it. And it's very rare, okay? And he's younger than me, I think he is, a year or two, something like that, younger than me. And he was working at Sprint. And boy, he just believed in God that God's going to just bless him in ways that, you know, and things coming. And this is a success story to me. And boy, I just love success. I just love success stories. I just love a good testimony, something for you to bite onto and say, let's go, you know. And this young man was working at Sprint. Well, when he lived in North or South Carolina, he used to clean houses with a pressure washer on the side because they get mildew. I'm sure y'all do. Okay, that's what he did as a side job just for kicks. And he was out front one day, and Sprint will be in one of those buildings. It's like a mall. It's not a mall, but you know, it's like a what do you call them? Like a strip mall or something. Yeah, it's like a bunch of doors, you know, and you go in, and and he's outside, and the floor is dirty, and the owner of the strip mall come up. He's just walking by and talking to this young man. He goes, man, you know, these floors are really dirty, and he goes, well, I guess I could do it for you. I'll just go buy a pressure washer and I'll do it. He goes, okay, I'll pay you. All right, such a deal. So then he comes at night when no one's there, and he starts pressure washing. And, well, he's doing that. And then he goes over to the next place, says, hey, I'm doing this, guys. You just want me to do yours? Yeah, I'll pay you. Come on over here. So he starts doing his. And I had talked to him about a year or two before he started doing this about, I said, brother, God's going to make you incredibly wealthy. I don't know what, but he just is. And he said, I'll receive it, brother. And he didn't come out of much. He didn't come out of much. So he didn't have that where he'd been around not nice things. And so he goes out and buys a pressure washer. I was out at the church washing down the front of the church or something at 6 o'clock in the morning. He drives up. And he says, brother, I want you to see something. And he pulls his phone out and he shows me, and it's a whole list of like words, and it's like a letter. And I go, oh, brother, I ain't got time to read that. Just tell me what it says. I don't want to sit here and read that. He says, brother, this is a contract with Fiverr. It was a handful of Walmart contracts throughout the whole valley. And I said, that's for all those contracts? He goes, brother, this is for all these contracts for the whole valley. And I go, oh, praise God. Praise God. And you see where that took him, because he stepped out there in faith and he says, yeah, I'll do that. Most people, I don't want to do that. You don't know wherever God's going to take you. You don't know what God's going to do for you. Now, he don't even pressure wash no more. He's just a contractor that goes around. He just bought a brand new Mercedes. He didn't even have hardly a good car when he come out here. He brought him a Louis Vuitton briefcase. He's buying some beautiful stuff. He's got a home, 3 wonderful kids. They're prospering. And I go, brother, look at what God's done for you. Look what God's done for you. If people would just step out there in faith, and he goes, brother, he's got Kmart, Walmart, and Oceanside, all the way down in Oceanside. He just drives around. He's done landscaping now. He don't touch anything. He just gets the contracts and has people do it for him. You don't ever know where God's going to take you. But if someone would dare to go in faith, somebody dare to step out there in faith and leave worry behind. Leave it behind. Leave the doubt and unbelief behind. Step out in faith and say, I'll do it, Father. However long it takes, I'll stay in faith. If you can't see yourself having it, you can't have it. If you look at something and say to yourself, I can never have that, you never will. A beautiful brand new truck, and you look and say, man, Pastor Tim's got a nice truck, and you say to yourself, I can never afford that, then you never will. You bet. You never get it. If you can't see yourself in it, never have it. You know where I see myself? I see myself in my beautiful brand new home that I own. I see myself in beautiful vehicles. I see myself in an aircraft. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see myself in an aircraft. Do you know what? We already have a pilot on staff and don't even have an airplane in the natural. But what does faith do? What does faith do? Faith getting ready for it, Jack. Faith steps out there and says, yeah, I'm getting it. Man, if you believe in God for a new vehicle, why don't you go clean that trash out of your garage and get a place for it? You know why you don't? Because you don't think it'll happen. You believe for a baby? Why don't you go put a baby room in? Why not? What you got to lose? You ain't got one anyways. But you ain't going to do it until you get pregnant. Doubt and unbelief. Because it may not happen. Faith sees it already done. Faith already has it. When every bone in the body says you'll never get it, but faith says you can have it. I don't know if I'm helping you, brother and sister, boy. I'm just so excited what God's doing for us right now. One thing the Lord's been showing me, let's go to Mark 2:5. I believe y'all getting help, because, boy, I'm helping myself. So we know here that Jesus was in a house. Jesus was in a house, and the Lord spoke to me so clearly about this. Jesus is in a house, and, boy, this house is just filled to the gills. People standing up, standing at the windows, can't even get in. Can't even get in. Well, here comes these four men carrying a paralyzed man down the street. They know Jesus in town. He's here. And brother, and they went and got this man on a stretcher. He's paralyzed. And they bring him to Jesus. Well, and the Lord showed me this. So here they come up to the house, and boy, it's filled to the gills. You can't get in the door. People probably 30 feet away from the door just trying to listen. Listen what Jesus has to say. And these men, what does the natural mind say? Well, Jesus has got to come out. I'll just wait till he comes out. That's a that's a valid point, right? I mean, you could say that. He got to come out, and when he does, we'll lay hands on him and be healed. But these men said, nah, we're not waiting. We're not waiting. See, look at that. And what'd they do? They went on the roof, carrying this man up the roof, and ripped the roof off. Rip it off. You think Jesus got to quit talking because they just fall, junk falling? They probably using mud and bushes and all kinds of stuff to put a roof up. You know Jesus got to step away while they tear the roof off. And it says that they lowered him down on the bed, but it's like, you know what? You can't, that's pretty tough when you're torn a roof off to try to lower someone down. You might as well just throw him down. He's already paralyzed. Right? Just dump him down there, land on the head. Well, who cares? That's the way I saw the scripture. But the Lord showed me something here. Right, for reals. Just throw them in the roof. We're here to get healing anyways. So here this man that what does it say here in chapter 5 when Jesus, look at it. Go ahead and look at it. What's it say? Oh, he saw. He physically saw their faith. You see that? Faith has a look to it. Yeah. He saw their faith. And, of course, we know that he came completely, immediately, chapter 12, immediately he rose and took his bed. I guess that was his main bed. I don't know. Maybe it was his main bed. And then it says at the end that it says, we've never seen anything like this. But I wanted to show you that these men, it wasn't that man's faith. It was these men's faith. And the aggression, that's aggressive to tear someone's roof off. It's a little aggressive. You know what I mean? But they said, you know what? We don't care. And we're bringing this man and he's going to get healed right now. Do you see the difference between standing outside and waiting versus aggressive faith? Faith has boldness. Faith has boldness. Faith isn't weak. It's not tender. It's not tenderly sweet. There's an aggressiveness about faith. Amen. Faith can have it. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians 3:20. What about seeing yourself healed? I'm going to be honest. I was talking with Mark about this. I said, I believe we're not seeing more. Yes, Father. I believe we're not seeing more signs, wonders, and miracles because people aren't seeing themselves healed. They come up to see what the person laying hands on them and see if it worked. Remember what I told you when I got my teeth whitened? And it said, all right, I'll see if that worked. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. You say, Brother Stephen, should I quit taking my pills? If you got to ask me to quit, if you should stop taking your pills, keep taking your pills. Because there's something about faith you ain't got to ask. It's just something that boils up inside of you. And you said, I don't need them pills no more. It's something that just breaks through anything the natural tells it. I think it's a shame, and the Lord told me never to do it. I don't even do it at the church. You're like, man, what are you talking about? You know, you do at the church. You know, I've seen people, and they get those, maybe I'm stepping on your feet, yeah, that's fine. They get them paralyzed things to put on their car so they could park up front for benefits so you ain't got to walk that far. What, when I see a car with that thing on, that means you're sick. Doesn't that mean it? You're paralyzed, something wrong. Or my grandpa, he's called broke leg spot. He said, you just park up. And I was driving around with him, and he's got one of those. He's legally blind, you know. So the doctor gave him one. And, of course, he's not a faith, man. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But he said, just throw that thing up on there and park up front. I said, and he got mad at me, and I didn't tell him why. He said, why'd you broke in the park leg spot? And I said, I'm just going to park over here in the one next to it. He goes, even though it's just blue stripes. No, it's not. Not for me, it's not. Not for me. I got that gator at the church. You know what a gator is, a little utility vehicle. And right next to the green room, there's one spot, and then the next one's a broke leg spot. And I never even parked a gator in this spot. I don't park here. If I do, I go sideways, and I touch the front of the curb, and that's got me completely out of that spot. Well, wait, Brother Stephen, you're just over the top. No, brother and sister, I'm not. I'm not going to identify with sickness at all. And if you need a sign, wonder, and miracle, you can't have, you've got to start cutting that junk out of your life. Lord told me this just now, or a minute ago. How about tomorrow, we're going to lay hands on the sick tomorrow. But get this, what he told me. Anytime tomorrow, how many of y'all got a Facebook? Only a couple, y'all lying. Y'all, everyone in here, huh? Oh, Facebook. Facebook. Okay, I was like, oh no, there's like one or two raise their hand. I'm like, wrong. Why don't we do this tomorrow? Would y'all do this for me? Anytime tomorrow that you were going to go get on your Facebook, did I get it? How about tomorrow you don't? And that time that you would spend going through it, spend it for tomorrow night. How about that? Would y'all do that for me tomorrow? The Lord told me that. I don't know what it means. Let's just do it. Who cares? But do you start cringing because I'm pulling your social media to say, don't get on it for tomorrow? And that time that you would spend surfing, just take that time to be with the Lord. And you say, brother, I'm on it like 2 hours a day. Then praise God, you're going to be praying 2 hours a day. But do you see, maybe some of y'all feel a little bit like, oh, my God. But if you can't put that down, I like Brother Copeland said, and there was 1,000 ministers there, and he said, I want to tell y'all something. All y'all ministers are addicted to that Facebook. I said, not me. I'm never on it. I just go on there to deny people. That's all I go on there for, Lord. I've never posted a thing in my life on there, as far as I know. Unless someone else did it, I don't know. I just go on there to deny people. You know, you want to be my friend? No, I don't want to be a friend. I'm never on here. It don't matter. But what is that we're willing to cut off the flesh? And we're willing to put those things aside and say, you know what? I'm hungry for the Word. If you can't get hungry for the Word and you can't get in the Word, you can forget about having great faith. You ain't going to have it. Hallelujah. I got some chickens at my house. We had talked about getting chickens a couple years ago. So we got chickens when we moved into our home. And it's chickens, and I don't know what happened. I'm feeding these chickens, and I noticed one's in a corner, like, got the twitch. And I'm like, what's wrong with that chicken? I don't know. And so I'm like, man, now that thing don't look right. And I go, well, I'll come back tomorrow and see what's wrong with her. See if she's still there. And so I come back next day, and boy, that chicken got poop all over her back. They had been roosting up above and just pooping on her all night long. And I go, what in the world's wrong with you? And I said, all right, something wrong. I'm going to shoot you in the head. So So I go up and get the pellet gun that Pastor Tim got me, and I go back down there. And you know what's funny? I even said a prayer of salvation with the chicken. Why not? Why not? We're the only ones out there. All these other chickens is watching the execution. I said, just say after me, Lord, come to my heart. Forgive me my sin. I was having a good time, but I was kind of upset because I'm having to shoot one of my chickens I raised. And so here I go, bam, I shot her. You know, I throw her out the cage, there's blood everywhere. Oh, man, out the cage, all right. Well, I come back the next day, and before I get in the gate, I look through the gate, I go, what in the world? I look in there, and there's a chicken laying on its back, completely dead. And I go, what in the world's going on here? And I open the door, and I close it behind me, and then I go in the little house, and there's another one laying on the floor dead. And I go, man, this is me being not thinking, right? But I said, man, y'all got the herpes. Look at y'all. Y'all got the herpes. My dad used to call it herpes. Yeah, sleeping around and got the herpes. And I go, what in the world is going on here? And these chickens as hard as a rock. I throw them out the door. What's going on here? And, you know, the flesh says, well, they're chickens. And I'm standing around looking at these other chickens. And I'm looking at them like, what's wrong with y'all? What's going on in here when I'm not in here? And and the Lord said, why don't you speak healing over them? The flesh says, they're chickens. And I said, no, I told the Lord if he knows me ever to do something, I'm going to do it. And I said, all right, all y'all chickens in the house. And they're trying to get away from me, and I'm getting a house. And I got everyone in the house, and I stand by the little door because it's got a little hole in it. And I said, all right, in the name of Jesus. And the devil goes, look how stupid you look talking to them chickens. Casting the... In the name of Jesus, I say now, not another one of you will die in the name of Jesus. I got mud on my shoes. I got headphones on my head. I got a sweater on. And they're sitting there going, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy. Not another one of y'all die. The devil said, tomorrow there'll be two more dead. Oh, there won't. Do you even have that level that you put that down? Because the devil said, well, what if you come tomorrow and there's one more dead? You fail. No, devil. Now, see, you could fall into that and don't say anymore because you believe the thought. I said, no, devil, there won't be another one. And boy, you got to put down the flesh because here come the devil. I said, even over chickens. Yes, over chickens. Over my chickens. And you know what? I ain't had another one die. I think they saw me execute that one every time I come in. Now they start doing loops. We're good. Everything's good. We're all happy. Happy, happy. Like you just caught sitting in the corner just chilling. You could get shot in the head, Jack. Get up and move. Run around. And I ain't had no more chickens die. But see, if you won't take authority over that, well, bless God, how are you going to take it over your children? How in the world are you going to take it over your family? How in the world are you ever going to get into a new home? Brother and sister, just jump in there in faith. Don't, who cares? You know, I said, well, Lord, I'm learning. I don't care. Just try it. Who cares? You ain't got nothing to lose. The Lord said that he will never allow you, the righteous, the continuously righteous, to slip, fall, or fail. But you see, it's continuously righteous. Some people, they do all this, but they're not righteous. They live carnal. They don't fill themselves with the word. And then they blame God that it didn't work. You know in your spirit if you're doing enough and when you're not doing enough. You know. you know, but you're going to blame it on God because, you know, you want to say that, but in yourself, you said, well, last time it didn't work. Amen. Am I stepping on y'all's toes a little bit? Praise God. Well, my iPad says it's 5:12. This other one says 8. But brother and sister, we have got to start seeing ourselves healed. Yeah. We got a call. You know, every time we leave to go preach, the devil does something stupid. We got a call when we landed in Cleveland, and they said, well, the baby's got a fever, and Liam's tooth is hurting. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And the devil said, it won't come to pass. I know what you're about to say. It will now come to pass. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. I command right now that fever leaves her in the name of Jesus. And I command that tooth to quit hurting now. Now, that's it. God's doing the rest. Well, brother, I'm all the way in Cleveland and they're... See, there it is. This is the doubt and unbelief. Here it comes. Coming down the street. You have got to become so fluent. I'm not saying the tests and trials don't come, but we need to become fluent in faith and not stumbling over this stuff anymore. We can't be, and I know y'all's market is different out here, but in California, if you're going to get a nice home with acreage and, with not neighbors that can spit in your yard, you know what I mean? $1 million. $1 million. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom base to get into a home like that. You may find some $800,000, but you're so close, you know what I mean? And homes there, base homes, start at like over $300,000. So the level that I've seen in my life and is different numbers than y'all have seen. But faith can have it. It don't matter if you're in New York or California. I don't care what the numbers say. You know what those are, those numbers? They're just numbers. They're just numbers. Somewhere in space that somebody made up somewhere. With money, I don't care where it comes. You know, most likely you've never bought a home with cash money, like, you know, liquid cash in front of you. You've always done some transaction. You never saw it. It just on the abyss somewhere. We don't know. It's just done. Isn't that right? Well, why God the difference? That's all it is numbers. And it gets taken care of. Amen? Well, I don't know if I've helped y'all. I just blessed myself. I stirred myself. I'm excited. Got to see yourself healed. Amen. Tomorrow night, I want y'all to come believe in God. Don't come in doubt. Put doubt aside, because we're going to lay hands on the sick tomorrow. And don't look at that person when they walk by and I say, ooh, I want to see what happens. Yeah. You never say that. You don't say that. You say, you know what? It'll happen. And start training yourself to do that more. It says meditate therein day and night. Day and night, always feeding yourself. I like something Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, if I'm not talking to someone, then I'm always talking to God. You know, once you get to a certain level in faith, you want more. You want to do bigger things for God. You want to go further. I like something Dad Hagen said, and he was preaching in a country church, and, you know, about 20 people, and that's everybody. I mean, everybody can count, 20 people. And he said, you come Thursday night, you better come early. The building will be full. Now, see, here comes the flesh. Well, what if it doesn't? And he said, the next night, he said, y'all better come early on Thursday night. Building will be full. Now, see, that takes faith to say that, don't it? And the devil said, look at you. It's even out of your hands. These people are going to do what they want. No, devil. If I said the building is going to be full, it's going to be full. But see, he was at that level of faith. He had worked up to that place. He didn't start from base and get to that point. If you're just starting out and I asked you to believe that, you'd be overwhelmed. You'd start hard sweat, you know. And so he said, here come Thursday. And he was in the parsonage, came out right next door. He said, the parking lot's full. Every spot's taken. He goes in the building. Every pew's taken. Every seat's taken. They're up on the stage. They're on the sides. They're everywhere. And he said, there was these ones couples that used to always show up late, 30 minutes late. And he said, man, I wish I had a camera to get to look on their faces, because they walked in and couldn't believe it. Because he'd been telling them for days, you better come early to get a seat. Faith works, brother and sister. If you will put it to use, what's the Bible say? If you have the faith of a mustard seed. I looked up a mustard seed. Boy, it about fit in your fingernail, you know, right in that gap, that you could do great things. And the Lord said, that faith is untainted. That's small. It's not laced with doubt and unbelief. And people have small faith, but it's laced with doubt and unbelief. That's pure. That seed is pure. You understand what I'm saying? That's why he said, if you have faith of the mustard seed, it's just believing God, that God will do it. Amen. Amen. I want y'all to know I love y'all. Come tomorrow night believing God. Amen. If you feel that urge to get on the social media, you say, you know what, I'm going to do what Brother Stephen said. And I'm going to spend that time I usually would. Maybe it's 5 minutes or something. And you check it every... Some people check it all day long for every 5 minutes. And just take that 5 minutes and just praise God. Praise God. Amen. Pastor Tim.